Welcome back to Bedknobs and Broomflicks with our thrilling conclusion of Empire of Storms, Part 2.
We've got Aelin trying to, like, raise an army and being told no, unless there's, like, a marriage by a whole bunch of people. And Adian's basically like, well, you have the Bane, you have my army, so I don't see why that's a problem. And they send Evangeline Fleetfoot away because we had to do something with the dog and the child for obvious reasons. And she makes one of the men who's saying, like, look, I can't support you, but I will take care of this child as she's my own granddaughter, which I'm like, oh, good. Good. But and when she sends Rowan off to save Dorian, she says, I'll meet you in Skull's Bay, which is where hot Captain Rolf, Dread Pirate Roberts Captain Rolf, is chilling. And she pissed him off at some point, which is in a novella which I have read. Basically, she helped free a bunch of slaves that he was keeping, and with her first love, Sam. And so he's a little pissed off about that, but, you know,
a little irked.
Of course, when they meet, he finds out that, you know, she's not just an assassin. She's a, you know, goddamn fae who can burn him alive, his entire island down. So fear works. I'm just saying, fear does work. But he's also talking to two other fae men, Gavriel, who is Adian's long-lost father, who he never knew, and Fenris?
Mm-hmm.
Fenris? Yeah, and Adian's basically being really cold to his dad. And during that time, Rowan, who has saved Dorian and is trying to teach Dorian how to control his ice magic, has joined them, and that's around the time when they all make deals, Rolf joins, and there's lots of sand in vaginas and other orifices, and that's where we're going to go there.
And Adian's and so like, they set you off can't on tell me what to do, you're not my dad!
Yeah, basically. I mean, so that's the part I'm just going to skip over, and Lysandra's basically being like, look, I could be an underwater dragon, I could be a bird, I could be anything you want, because I'm the goddamn MVP of this whole story, because I can turn into anything, and I can tear shit apart.
And then Adian's like, I did it with lots of people, really. Loads of people, hundreds.
You want to see this belt? I needed 16 belts.
I'm not a virgin. So totally not. I don't care what you heard.
I interfered with a woman sexually. That's for all my Red Dwarf fans out there.
Yes.
I know some of you out there are Red Dwarf fans.
You see this condom? I've used it loads of times.
Oh god, ew.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, this made me... Okay, anyways, yeah.
I don't know why he became in my head like 13 years old. Like, here we are.
Because outside of, you know, obviously having growing the hots for Lysandra and, you know, trying to, you know, deal with his cousin who is very, very cagey. Like, Aelin is not sharing everything, which frustrates him to no doubt. Which, to be fair, I understand, especially if, say, if you're, because he's supposed to be a general of an army. And if he doesn't know what the hell's going on, if he was, like, leading an army, like, that would be a big effing deal.
She does a lot of things that just piss me off, like, as a reader. I'm just like, you didn't want to share that with anybody? Seriously? Like, what, you didn't trust Adian with that knowledge? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's she gets really, really frustrating. And, you know, they try to pass it off as, you know, she's not sharing this because she doesn't want other people to try to save her or get involved. Spoiler alert to later. You know, she realizes she's the only one who can do this and everything. And it's like, no, like, just you should still share this. She does confide a lot in Lysandra, who has definitely become like her bestie. So, which is good because she needs a bestie. Yeah. She really needs a bestie.
She does. But so at some point, oh my God, even with her, it's not romantic, but they started out hating each other.
Oh, I know. Well, and at some point, like Lysandra's like disguised as like her snow leopard form, and she's resting her head on Aaron's lap while she's petting her, and just like, this is really weird to read because I know that's a woman, that's not a snow leopard, not a ghost leopard.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I won't call her snow leopard because I just want to imagine their snow leopards. I think snow leopards are cool, but yes, like, I know it's a ghost leopard.
I love my friends. Would I put my head in their lap as a big kitty? I don't know.
Hey, Linda, when quarantine's over, I'm going to ask you not to do that when we get to see each other again.
I make no promises.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, and can I just say that Fireheart, which they call her every now and then, they call her Fireheart. Can I just say that
Aelin,
it should be a Care Bear or one of their cousins. Cousin Fireheart.
The less caring bear.
Yes.
Where everyone else is like shooting out like rainbow colors and caring. She just goes like,
she just flambés
like,
everything.
This is my caring. Everything's on fire. Like the entire forest is burning down. Yes, animals are running away.
They can't take her anywhere. Oh, it looks like we've got to go to the wildlife preserve. Uh-oh, don't bring Fireheart.
Let's send her to the waste. Can we send her to the waste?
Maybe she made the waste.
Yeah, so, oh, and also she ends up calling some of the Volg to, like, convince Rolf, like, to join her.
Yes! Oh,
that's
God,
like how Lysandra gets hurt, and I understand then why Adian would be really pissed off again.
Yes. Because
Dorian like also figures out, he's like, oh, that powers are just literally called the Volg to like Skull's Bay, and he's like, mm-hmm. What the fuck, man? Lysandra gets really badly hurt, and yeah, again, it's all this like the secrecy that she keeps, that she has. It's like,
yeah, she doesn't trust anybody else to help her with her planning, and she's like, no, it's cool, because I'm gonna use the Eye of Elena to basically to, or was it the one of the keys to,
she's one of the word keys, basically some of the god's powers almost is how it, because she's like she's supposed to be a relative of Mala Firebringer, and she opens up the gate and turns out that you don't always get the god you're looking for. And it doesn't, yeah, and Rowan at some point has to throw himself in front of her when, you know, he's worried that she's going to burn everybody, including, you know, the entire Skull's Bay to the ground because she can't control what she's just unlocked. And
yeah, she almost destroys the fucking Skull's Bay again
and the fleet that she needs. Well, she didn't really destroy Skull's Bay, she just freed the slaves while kind of destroying a lot of other shit in the process. He rebuilt, clearly.
But it's like, hey, Aelin, maybe at some point you might want to talk out one of your plans. Just an idea.
Yeah, it's
like, that's not something she should have been secretive about. There's no reason for it.
Yeah, it just gets frustrating. And so they, you know, she convinces Rolf to, you know, join and give her ships because, you know, she loves ships. Mm-hmm. And they take off to Stone Marshes. And at that point, that's when Abraxas finds them, lands on the boat with Manon. And Abraxas is still being like the lovable Wyrmwind on the boat, even while she's unconscious.
Abraxas, the loving wyvern, he's Abraxas. Cute little worm, he's Abraxas.
He goes out, finds flowers, brings them back, you know. Brings a bottle to her, brings an IV unit, you know. So yeah, so they basically
put a crossword puzzle.
Seventeen across, small dragon-like creature, nursemaid.
That's some fan art waiting to happen.
Oh man. But yeah, so Manon's awake on the ship. She's chained. They take care of her wounds. And Aelin is healing her because she's been bleeding out. And Dorian's also there being creepy towards a injured woman, I guess. And she tells him how she got her injuries and wants him to find out what happened to her 13 because they're missing now. So she just doesn't know where any of them are. She doesn't know if Astrin's alive. She doesn't know if anybody else is alive. And so all she has is Abraxas. And yeah, which to be fair, I think that might be all you need at this point.
Yeah, but, all you need is Abraxas.
Yeah. But then again, you know, Dorian's like creeping in on her and she's giving all the signals like, yeah, you could totally hit this and I totally won't bite your head off. Wink. Maybe. Not sure. Thinking about it. Because I mean, even then, like some of her inner dialogue is almost like, I could kill him. I could kill him right here and it'd be really easy. Even chained up, I could easily kill him. It's like, holy shit. It's like, you unchain me. I could either fuck you or I could kill you. Uh-huh. Want to take that bet? Want to take that bet, little prince? Or king now, I guess, because his dad's dead. But yes. So yeah, and he's basically like, nah, I'm going to flirt with you. I'm going to tease you and then I'm going to leave. It's like, huh. But they do finally actually get it on the ship. So, you know, don't have to wait too long for that. And
yeah,
Manon becomes a force to fight along with Aelin after, you know, revealing everything that she knows and what's going on with her grandmother and, you know, what a horrible grandmother she is and the yellow legs and part of what she understands to be the plan, even though she doesn't know all of it. I know certain things right now, but yes.
Well, and also she mentions like twice, once when she's dealing with the Ilken and trying not to bleed out. And then once with Dorian, she talks about the yielding and it's like she makes it out to be this big thing that that most don't dare to do. Says her magic had no magical shields against attacks like that. Only when most desperate, most enraged could a witch summon the core of magic in her with devastating consequences. Blah, 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 blah. She's talking to Dorian later and she says it's called the yielding. The bit of magic we have, we usually cannot summon or wield, but for one moment in a witch's life, she could summon great power to unleash upon her enemies. The cost is that she's incinerated in the blast, her body yielded to the darkness. And so I wonder if this will possibly come up later.
Like, not in this book, let's put it that way.
No,
not
but
in this
you know
book.
It's coming because like you oh, don't yeah. just like Sarah J Maas does not like drop two huge ass hints like that of
there's not a lot of red herrings in this book. There's not a lot of red herrings. It seems like most of the things have kind of paid off too. Sort of like, you know, there's no like failed prophecies or anything, or where it's just like, oh, like that actually wasn't important. It was just me misdirecting you to something else. It's like, no, it's all kind of played out. But I mean, she tries to say like, oh, but only young witches do this when they're under crisis and everything. Like most of the like older ones don't do this. It's like, okay, Manon, whatever. Whatever happens.
She says even the most bloodthirsty and soulless of them only whispered of the act, the yielding. And so I'm thinking, yeah, like, nah, that won't come up at all. Nope. Like, yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's going to come up in the, where are we? Probably in the 7th book.
Yeah, most likely in the 7th would be my guess. So we'll find out once we get through Tower of Dawn.
Wahoo!
I was waiting for another
Well, I really don't want to get through the Kaol story, but I need help, dude. You guys. But we did get a better idea of the different kinds of witches in here too. They have the three Iron Teeth witches are meant to be like Maiden, Mother, and Crone.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you mentioned this. That was one thing that I noticed when I first read it. I was like, oh, this is so cool. That's nice.
Yeah, and that's why they worship the three-faced goddess. It's the mother, maiden, crone. And it's just, it was why the yellow legs matron was always ancient, why the black beak was always a witch in her prime, and why Cressida, the blue blood matron, still looked young and fresh.
Can I make a request? No matter how I look, you know, I never want to refer to as fresh. You know, you could see if you want to say I look young, okay, whatever. If you want to say I look like a person in their prime, whatever, please don't ever refer to as fresh.
Prime, yes. Fresh.
Prime. Hopefully not fresh prone game. Either, but let's just go with that.
Oh, crone.
Oh, crone.
We're going to be in the old folks' home together someday, and I'm just going to follow you around going, oh, crone.
At this damn point, with your ankle, you think you're going to be able to keep up with me?
God, no. That's why I'm going to be in my electric wheelchair. You're going to be in a wheelchair,
wheeling out to me, going, oh, crone, oh, crone, oh, crone. I'm going to find like the nearest hill and just be like,
you're going to be like, God damn it. Why hasn't she forgotten me already? Let's face it, my memory is not the strongest right now. So.
She only remembers this. She's forgotten everything else from her life except this.
No, just wait a little bit and I'll find some way to hurt myself. So I'll get out of your hair.
Now I've already got the watermelon issue, so hey. That was a conversation off mic, by the way, guys. Her ankle is messed up.
Yeah. I managed to, like, once I started recovering from my sinus surgery, I managed to slip and really hurt my wrists, and I scraped my palms and really, really screwed up my ankle. So...
Yeah, we're recording a day late because I thought we were going to record Monday. And then I realized there was another conversation where she actually had to go to urgent care. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, are you okay? Are you like all concerned? And she sends me a picture of her swollen foot. I'm like, holy fuck. And then I bring my husband over there. And I'm over here. I'm just like, look at this. Look at this Linda's foot.
I had no idea how it wasn't broken. Because, like, I'm telling you, the pain is immense. And Carlo was like, well... You know, you're almost 40, and this is what happens when you get older. I'm like, thanks, Carlo. So he's basically already calling me an old crone. I'm practicing, but I'd like to think it's just fucking 2020 getting one last punch in.
Ugh. Well, we've got 30 more days left of 2020, so please, let's not... Let's not invoke the 2020 gods anymore.
Start taking bets.
No, let's not. I've got things going for me right now that are working out really well, so shush, shush. After a really bad start to the year and a continuing, you know, pandemic, I can at least look forward to something, so shush.
God, I sure hope I don't meet with Abraxas in real life.
Well, then you could have a nursemaid who will give you flowers God. And, you know, very easy to solve crossword puzzles, as we've discussed. They're all related to him and how awesome he is.
I just got a visual of, like, me working on one of my puzzles. So, like, here.
He starts, like, moving pieces around, like, like in a way of saying, like, you fucked up. It's over here. Like, start with the edges.
Thanks, Abraxas. Abraxas. Anyway, I'm sorry. But Manon, while we find out her who she really is, we also get the awesome nicknames from her grandmother, the Manon Witch Killer, Manon Kinslayer. Yeah.
I mean, not untrue.
Not untrue.
Unknowingly, but, you know, it's not like she went out of her way to kill her kin, but, you know.
And you told me that, before I finished, you told me that it was a really rough ending. And for a while, she's like waiting for Abraxas to come back. And I was
like, well, she sends him off in a very like, I don't need you anymore. Yeah. You don't matter to me. You can go. Because they get to the marshes and she's like trying to send him away to like keep him safe. She's like, you horrible Braxis. You go. You can go now.
And imagine it's just like, that, I think I even. Like, heartbreaking scene from Henry and the Hendersons.
Well, I think I wrote to you and I even said like, oh God, they're doing this scene right now. And those are exaggerations. Like, this is Henry and the Harrisons all over again. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's basically Harry and the Hendersons. And, but then, you know, so like, I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. If something happens to Abraxas, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done with this series.
We still have two more books, Linda. Just power through. Don't worry, nothing happens to Abraxas. Abraxas is safe. Abraxas actually finds the other 13 and they help out in a really epic battle.
Yeah, so, it's fucking great when they come back and they're just like, oh, you had a war going on?
A little late because they really need some help in another area, which is where, it's because they get to the Stone Marshes. They meet up with Lorkin and Elide are entering from the other location. And of course, Lorkin and Elide have had their almost consummation until they are interrupted because Lorkin can sense Ilkin nearby.
Coitus because... interruptus.
Yes. Dicus reducus.
Dicus blockus. Accio blue balls.
Cuckoldus. Ilkinus.
Oh, I haven't even been drinking.
Neither have I.
So, see, at least when we're in the old folks' home, we're going to be happy and cackling.
So. We need to adjust their meds. They're not on any meds. We need to give them meds.
Give them something, for God's sakes.
But, we get kicked out for being obscene.
It's like, that, look, those are my goals.
They're upsetting the other residents here.
But yeah, like talking about eating the other residents. I'm just saying, I wouldn't throw that out of my roasting pan.
I just walk around singing "Have a Little a Little Priest" from Sweeney Todd. Seems like a waste. Seems a downright shame.
Yeah. Oh God. And like, so while I was fighting against it the whole time and like everybody pairing up, once Lorkin and Elide really started getting together, I was just like,
you actually did send me a text message regarding that. You're like, they're getting together. And I think I was like, yeah, I know. I know. I mean, kind of, sort of, because obviously, again, you know, cock blocked us. So.
Yeah. But like he's saying, like after the whole ordeal with the Ilkin and her uncle, it says Lorkin reached out, grasping her chin and forcing her to look at him. Hopeless, bleak eyes met his. He brushed away a stray tear with his thumb. I made a promise to protect you. I will not break it, Elide. She made to pull away, but he gripped her a little harder, keeping her eyes on him. I will always find you, he swore to her. Her throat bobbed. Lorkin whispered, I promise. I was like, you mean the whole thing with you getting together? And I not like
also a that was the night
person.
The dog started howling.
Like I utter this like this noise that only dogs can hear.
It's very high pitched. Like, what was that?
But I'm not like big on like romance stories, but for some reason I really want Lorcan and Aleed to work out, and I think it's just I don't know, like it's just they're the couple that I'm really rooting for, probably them and Lysandra and Adium. But
yeah, which
really...
they've kind of admitted that they care about each other because of how things play out in the end, which I mean, for this is where like it was just the brutalization that Aelin went through, because you know, she finds out with man, because you remember the witch mirrors you talked about back in the second book?
Yeah.
When she kills Bobby Yellowlegs and there's all these mirrors, they come back. Now they make more sense. Because when you were sort of like, oh, I wonder if this has anything to do, and I was just getting into this part, I'm like, I don't know. It's like, just like that's when I think I was punching walls at that point. Where I was like, they're not as far as I am, and I can't spoil this much.
Well, I think they said that they can amplify powers, they can transport people, and they can also work as a sort of the phrase I'm looking for, the I'm trying to think of the thing from Harry Potter with the memories.
Oh, show the desires?
No, the,
or the
memories.
Which one?
Well,
because the mirror in that one. Yeah, because it's not a mirror. It's that liquid.
Yeah, where he puts it in like the bowl or the.
Oh my god, why? Oh my god, there are Harry Potter fans who are angry at us right now. Holy shit.
You stupid bitch!
I know, this is like, it's cold!
It's like, it's the like memory bowl thing. It's, come on.
Pensive.
Pensive. God, there we go. Thank you.
I'm like, memory bowls? It's like, god, this is why Google's my friend. It's like, why am I not remembering this thing?
And that was probably my fault. You know, there's this thing where if like you could like if we had just been talking about it, the chances are you would have been able to think like, oh, the pensive. But the moment I say, what is
what's
that
thing called, I'm just like, god damn it, my memory bank shut down.
I can't remember what it's called, but there's a name for that incident where that happens. Or if like we're talking about we could be talking about your favorite actor and I could be like, oh god, I can't remember his name, and then it like leaves your mind. It's
Well, at least like you're more helpful, because I have a couple people in my life who also do that, where they're just like, oh, what's that person's name, but they don't give me any like context clues.
God, you know,
like,
it was in
you
the
know
thing.
It's that, yeah, exactly. It is almost like that's like, oh, it was that guy in that one movie. It's like,
oh,
I don't
god.
Watch those
and
movies, I don't know how this is supposed to help
name?
Me
you know the one with the tits and the face and the
yeah, so at least you're better giving context clues where I can like go like, okay, searching memory banks, like other people are like, they're just bad at it. It's like,
Carlo,
I can't
just
really help you there
off.
When all you can say is it was a male actor who's white. Thank you.
It's like, oh, that guy.
Narrows down my list there.
Paul Giamatti, got it. But Lorcan and Aleed are being sweet to each other. He's starting to kind of break the hold that Maeve has.
Maeve's
over
blood,
him.
Yeah, the blood oath.
And,
but it still shows later on, because she comes back and she's a horrible, rotten fucking cunt.
Yes, I think that's the best way to put it too. And
oh yes.
Aleed like tells him like, you and me, she promised him, from now until the darkness claims us. And later it says he hadn't touched her since last night. There hadn't been time, and he hadn't wanted to think about what her kiss had done to him, how it had utterly wrecked him and still twisted up his guts in ways he wasn't sure he could live with. So now he's kind of like Manon in that way of like, I think he's been brought up to not really know that tenderness and care either.
Affection, the touch, yeah. The tender touch of another human or creature.
Yeah, and his patron god is basically a god of death. So, I mean, he's not like Abraxas and surrounded by flowers and rainbows. Happiness.
It's kind of an insult to death. How do you know that death doesn't have a tender touch?
That's true. Rainbows and lollipops and
I mean, look, before he claims you, maybe it's very tenderly. You don't know until it happens. Or she, yes. Considering all the different myths and death, you know, I do prefer the she one, but then again, I'm a huge Sandman fan.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Although I have to admit, my second favorite portrayal of death is probably the Supernatural OG one. Because I don't know if you got into this one where they introduced death. He is like a lover of fast food. Like he just every single thing, like he meets everything. He's just eating like fried, deep fried chips and everything. I'm just like, I like this character for some reason, and I don't know why. It's like he's also very sarcastic and everything, and I can get behind that. But yes, my favorite portrayal of death is, death from Sandman, followed very closely by Supernatural original OG death portrayal.
Oh, and at one point, Manon looks at the Eye of Elena, and she describes it as a large circle and two overlapping circles, one atop the other within its circumference. And she says that is the three-faced goddess. And that made me realize, you know where else we've seen that? In Pay the Ghost with Nicolas Cage. Also,
oh, for fuck's sake, I thought I was going to be able to avoid it because it was a goddamn book. Holy shit. I was like, oh, thank God. We're doing a book. This is fine. We can't make anything. My hackles can be lowered. It's okay. All of the things can be rested. It's like, oh, for fuck's God.
And at one point, Manon says, tells Aelin, snap out of it. Which Cher also famously spoke this line to Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So obviously there are some ties here to Nicolas Cage, and we have to go to find where the clues are leading us, much like in National Treasure.
You know, I feel like you slipping now, it was basically a pre-payback to what you were about to do to me. They were just like, we're going to spare Jane this trauma tonight by making her sprain her ankle.
Okay, that's it.
You know,
that's
at some point you're going to run out of movies of his and then it'll all be over.
I don't think so. But yes, that's all I have for Nicolas Cage tonight. I promise.
Write to Linda and tell her how you feel about all these Nicolas Cage references. And if you feel the suffering as I feel the suffering, let her know.
Otherwise, tweet us at Broomflix. Good work, Linda. Keep it up. Doing the Lord's work.
But, you know, we could skip what we were going to do next. And we could just move right into Vampire Diaries because you lost the fucking bet.
I'll be good now.
I have 8 seasons and spinoffs that you get to enjoy because of all this.
But seriously, there's this line where Dorian's getting it on with Manon, and it says the reverberations of his deep, rattling breath echoed into her cheek. And I put,
Oh, thank God.
Is he okay?
I don't remember that quote. I don't remember that quote, but I was really worried you were going to say something else. His reverberations. I was like, I don't remember this line. I don't remember. It's like, oh, okay.
As he motorboated her. Her wet mound.
I was imagining the reverberations of his dick.
He muttered. No, but it says the reverberations of his deep, rattling breath echoed in her cheek. So I was like, is he okay? Like, that doesn't sound healthy. Like, it's just so fucking weird. Like, what is
he inhaled
like
a lot of
mouth?
Glass dust when that when the kingdom fell. He just needs medical attention.
Like, are they kissing? And he's like giving a death rattle.
He's what trying to inflate happening? It like a balloon. He actually is as playboyish as he likes to believe. This is his first woman he's ever kissed. He's like,
okay, so he's 80 and now he's like, I've slept with totally tons of women, hundreds of women, really. Oh, loads.
I don't want
to
say Saoirse dodged a bullet, but no, I certainly think she did.
So Maeve, who basically has a male harem, I mean, life goals.
I own your balls.
We find out that fucking Lorcan, hashtag fucking Lorcan, basically he thinks that they're gonna be myrtleized, and so he wants to save Elide, so he brings Maeve to where they are.
Yeah, he thinks the Ilkin and everything is going to kill them. So yes, he sends out a big, big flare, basically, as only a blood oath can. So yeah.
Shoots out a little flare gun from his pants. And Maeve comes and she's like, oh, hey, thanks for doing that, buddy. So now I've got Aelin and I'm going to fuck with her up completely and take the weird keys.
Like, yeah. It's... This is where, like, I think this is the brutalization she went through that was just kind of heavy for me. Just because first off, we got a couple of things going on with Aelin, because she finds out that basically she's probably going to be a sacrifice because of what her ancestors, Gavin and Elaine, because you get a couple of glimpses into the past of the last battle that, Gavin
I'm sorry,
and
I totally got us off that. Yeah, you were talking about
it's okay. I mean, we didn't even mention it until then, because you get to look into the past, and I guess, Elaine kind of made a deal to lock Aelin away, but sooner or later, one of her heirs was going to have to deal with it. And her dad got pissed at her. And yeah, it's...
Yeah, because the Eye of Elaine was actually... it was a lock to keep Erewhon in. Because he was going to... Her dad was holding on to the lock so he could lock away Erewhon with these god and goddess figures, so they could basically beat the shit out of him and they could go back to their world or dimension, whatever, and they would stay there. But Elaine kind of fucked up and she stole the lock from her dad and thought that it was meant to keep him in the to trap him into sort of like sarcophagus type of thing. And yeah, she finds out she done fucked up and he's gonna rise.
Her dad
again.
Basically lays in that she done fucked up. Her dad is pissed.
And then her mom, who's like now this, like, I guess she died for the her mother, which is another one of Aelin's ancestors, who's now like Mala Firebringer, she died for her power to go into the lock
and she used it wrong. So yes,
yeah, and it's a one-time deal.
And it also has to be with Mala's bloodline, who must pay. And it's either Dorian or Aelin. So Dorian and Aelin are related in some distant relation, because I think Dorian is also part of Mala's bloodline in some capacity.
I guess that's a good thing, but that they didn't get it on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're like, if they're like, you know, like 50th cousins twice removed, who gives a shit?
but if they have the same grandfather, then it's just weird.
But I mean, like, and then you sort of see that Elaine's kind of been meddling in everything, like, because she kind of makes an appearance in some of the other books, and she seems to be more of this, like, motherly guide, you know, figure. But it turns out, like, she also told Nehemia that, you know, she's going, that, you know, she's going to have to go to North, but she'll never see her homeland again. That's how Nehemia knows that she is going to die when she is in Rifthold and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Elaine is frustrating. Like, Aelin's frustrating just because she's not sharing this plan. Elaine is frustrating because she done fucked up.
She done fucked up, and she wasn't really honest with Aelin from the beginning. And I could kind of understand that because, I mean, how do you get somebody to, you know, embrace their fate when their fate is like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to die. Sorry about that.
And she's been meddling in Aelin's life the entire time. Like, she's also the one who kind of can, like, in her own way, she, like, Elaine convinced Aerobin, you know, the assassin that she beheaded in a very lovely way, which that was probably one of my favorite scenes from that book, when she says, like, just to make sure. She convinced him to go outside. Like, she kind of, like, used her ghost powers to sit there and go, like, hey, maybe you should go check some things out. And, yeah, so he, like, he wouldn't have found her if, like, she... So she had a lot of hands in keeping both Aelin alive, but also in, you know, moving her along so that she can grow to be this, you know,
badass,
badass and sacrifice. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of manipulation going on. I mean, it's, you know, Maeve manipulated Rowan as well. If I remember correctly, it was Maeve who manipulated Rowan with his first wife into believing that Lyria was his true mate and got pregnant. And yeah, so like I remember when we were talking about that last book, and I'd already found that out, and I was like, fuck, goddamn, I hate these people. So,
and
yeah,
was like, that was all part of her plan, because she wanted him to hook up with Aelin, and she apparently knew that they were going to be mates. And
that their children would be powerful if they ever had children enough to rule the world. So Maeve got scared for obvious reasons.
Yeah. And so she set this up where he would be, he would have a blood oath to her and basically be beholden to her. So.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of manipulation by all these old, by all these ancient women, basically, both dead Elaine and, Maeve. So yeah, and so yeah, so Maeve comes, and she
and Manon's grandma
Well, and Manon, so basically Elaine joins up with Aelin, and Aelin does get this sweet moment where she gets to tell Elaine about how her mother protected her and that she always loved her, and because that was really sweet. And I thought that's why I think where it a lot of that emotion took toll, because of what happens after that. And of course Manon's happy to see Elaine's alive, which didn't help her a lot in the beginning.
Yeah,
but the big, huge, fae male next, like, to her really kind of kept her alive. But
well,
still,
to be fair, I think she had to go to.
She had to go back.
Yeah, they had to go back to be like, oh yeah, she's dead.
Stuff blew up. I don't know what happened.
stuff happened. That girl. Oh yeah, she's dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw her once, and I don't know. But that's sort of.
The girl with the ankle and the thing? Yeah, 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 totes dead.
Exactly.
Yeah, we kind of ate her.
She was yummy.
Were we not supposed to do that?
I think they do kind of, but anyways. But anyway, so yeah, Manon learns, and Aelin's already told Lysandra about this, because there's a plan that Aelin obviously hasn't told anybody else, including somebody else who really should be involved in the plan.
Yeah.
But anyways, Anyways, so then, they like, get reunited.
I kind of get her not telling them this.
Well,
plan.
I understand not telling some of them, but I think Adian should have been involved in parts of the plan because of what's expected of him afterwards.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
You know what I'm about to bring up. Yeah. So they get a small reunion, and Maeve comes in, and Maeve threatens to take Elite away if Aelin doesn't go willingly. So Aelin does, and right now Rowan's off fighting. All the other males are off fighting someplace else except for Loken, who can't do anything, or any of the males who are swollen to the Blood Oath, which includes Adian's father and Fenris are still sworn to the Blood Oath, even though they're trying to fight it now because they made their choices in their minds, but not in what they, their bodies can't seem to control themselves. Anyways, so, and
hormones, am I right?
Blood oaths, am I right? So they, they bring out the one that Rowan, what's his name, like Kaem or Kaen? I always went, or oh. Karen. I want to call him Carrion because it looks like that, but it's, again, these names. It's he's supposed to be the one where Rowan's like, look, he made the Blood Oath, but I could never even control him because
we'll
he was just so sadistic. What?
We'll call him Charizard.
That's what I was like. Did you just call, name him a Pokemon? Yes, you did. Okay.
Maybe.
And so, like, basically, Maeve doesn't just want, like, Aelin to come with her willingly along with what she assumes Aelin has all the word keys weird keys with her. She wants, basically, Aelin to submit to her. And she, like, you know, she gets her shirt ripped off and has Charizard, in Linda's case, whip her. And she makes her count the whips, but she won't count. So he just keeps whipping her until she starts counting and leaving Elite and Manon to sit there and to stand there and watch, which that was just unsettling because, you know, they talk about how like her skin rips open and he hits a part where it's already been ripped open. And it's just like, oh, dear God. So
and
it's
her like back's now in just like shreds and she still refuses to count.
Yeah, it's. And it find out that she's trying to keep them there as long as she can to see if, like, the cavalry will arrive because she's called in a lot of her debts of when she was a Selena. So she knows that there are people who are coming, but it clearly doesn't last because Maeve takes off with Aelin. But not until Aelin, before she's completely humiliated and degraded, she hands Manon over the weird keys that she has unknown to everybody else. So Manon's holding on to them because like Elite's pissed off that Manon's trying to leave and Manon's like trying to drag Elite off, like going like, no, we have to go get I'm going to break your other leg if you do not come with me.
And yeah, she's just trying to piss off Aelin's just trying to piss off Maeve, so they just all the attention's on her. And
yeah, it's
like she's basically trying to fuck up, you know, fuck her up so she doesn't even bother looking for the weird keys.
Yeah, and that's why Man's able to escape with them. So Aelin's
and it's
taken
Karen. Sorry,
Karen. Oh, it's Karen. Look, can we call him Karen now?
Yes.
Karen's better. So Karen.
Karen my okay.
Oh, I'm sorry to all the Karens out there. You got the raw end of the deal.
Sorry.
Anyways, so Maeve takes off with Aelin, and Rowan is pissed and almost kills Lorcan, demanding where his wife is because Rowan and Aelin married in secret. So now they husband and wife. It's his wife.
My wife. God damn it.
You're welcome.
It's legal now.
Oh. Well, and the idea behind so part of the idea, and also why, again, you should have let Adian in on this idea because, you know, Adian's like, we got to go after her. And
God.
And Lysandra comes out looking exactly like Aelin. Mm-hmm. She is disguising herself as Aelin. And it's to, because all these ships are arriving, all these people that Selena called in, all these debts are coming in. You know, there's a, all these people are coming to join the fight. But if Elaine's, Aelin's taken, she's worried that obviously they won't join. So Lysandra's going to disguise herself as Aelin, and the idea being is that if they can never get her back, and she's married, Aelin's married to Rowan, they're not going to have kids. But because Aelin and Adian are cousins, she assumes that Lysandra will sleep with Aiden, and they will have kids that will look close enough. Which again, this is why you need to include him, because I think that his rights to choose who he sleeps with and whether or not he fathers children are also, especially children that he will not be able to consider his, is really important.
That's just kind of like, oh, you don't mind sleeping with Lysandra when she looks like me, right? I mean... That's not gonna
I'm
be
assuming
an
she
issue.
Probably turned back to herself when they do finally sleep together, because they haven't slept together yet. Like, they've basically
like
been like hardcore.
I like to think that she's not, though, and that it's just going to be weird. But yeah, either way, it's like, oh yeah, you don't have
that
a problem
was
sleeping with her and siring children, right?
But then you kind of don't get to claim them as yours because they can, because they need to pretend to be Rowans and everything. It's just like, it's basically the idea is that if they can't get her back, or if Aelin dies, then we can at least pretend that these are heirs of Rowan and Aelin. So it's like, hey, Adian, can we borrow some of your sperm there, buddy?
A reason.
Yeah. And so the end, I mean, like, Rowan is... you know, the idea being is that Rowan's probably going to go after and try to save Aelin. Lysandra Aelin meets with all of these dignitaries, the Crown Prince of Wendelin, who's kind of been seen and mentioned in passing, has come to join the cause. And so is a bunch of other, the Silent Assassins of the Red Desert. I look forward to reading that novella at some point, have also decided to join. So she's playing the part of Aelin really well, and Adian's gonna stick by, and Dorian and Manon are going to fly to try to find any other Croatian witches left alive. So, and that is how we get into the seventh book, and somehow get into the sixth book, which takes us all the way back to just about the time that Rifthold is stormed, and that's where we get to Kaol. And that's why I was so annoyed at then moving on to the Kaol story, because I'm just like, it ends in such a way where I'm like, okay.
Stephen King does this with Dark Tower. I think it's like the second or third book, where it's like it leaves off on this huge cliffhanger, and then the third book, it's like, oh yeah, okay, so we're continuing on with that story, and then now we're going to spend the rest of this entire book just talking about the main character back in his younger years when he was a teen, and like something you don't give a shit about whatsoever. And, I mean, it was a good book, but at the same time, I remember reading that being like, the fuck? No! I think it was Wolves of the Cala. It's just like, oh god, it was so fucking annoying. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? So that's where we're left, you know? We're now going to dig into Kaol's story. I mean, it's Kaol's not just going there to get healed, he's also trying to rally the troops to of where he's going to come to Aelin and Dorian's side. And spoiler alert, at the very beginning, he's really not good at it. Turns out that when you go to a completely different culture and try to convince them to join a war that really they have no stake in at the moment, you know, again, I'm only 20% in, so it may change, obviously. Comes off a little awkward, you know? Just a little hard there to really try to convince a whole bunch of uninterested parties to go and die for your cause. Yeah. That's how we start out.
I'm still in chapter one because I just can't. can't motivate myself to read it.
You haven't even met some of the new characters. Oh my god. Like, I can at least tell you that there are some interesting characters coming up, you know, that I hope they stick with more, but the fact you're just like, I haven't gone through the first chapter, like, oh, okay.
I don't wanna.
You have to. And don't worry, I don't have anything to bid with you on, so it's not going to force you to finish it in a timely manner. I've already got what I wanted. We're going to talk about Vampire Diaries sooner than later. Although, because I am such a caring friend, that's not going to be the next thing we do. Instead, I've been pushing for something else, which we'll talk about very, very soon.
Yay!
I think that's it. I don't know what else you need to say, if anything else, because, man, that's
pretty much it.
I've got, like, about 2 hours on this thing right now, so.
Yes, and, yeah, so Manon tells the other witches that, yeah, we now, she says, Aelin Galathinius willingly handed over her freedom so an Iron Teeth witch could walk free. And she says, we owe her a life debt. And more than that, it is time we became better than our foremothers. We are all children of this land. And she says, I'm going to find the Crotians. I'm going to raise an army with them for Aelin Galathinius and her people and for ours. And that's basically where we leave off. And then we go to Kale.
He's just, Kale. I mean, just like,
call him Shimi.
People have told me that, you know, like, some people have even started, like, some of the reviews I was reading was, I was not looking forward to reading this, but I was pleasantly surprised. So I'm, like, hoping that something kind of redeems him from being insanely mopey, but he's just so insanely mopey. And he's dealing with the same issue that a lot of these characters deal with, which is, like, just take care of this and I don't want to talk about it. It's like, oh, for the love of God. It's like, could you just get a therapist, for Christ's sakes?
I don't care, whatever. Yeah, he turns into Bran, basically. Like,
but he doesn't have Hodor to make it entertaining.
He's not even that. He's not even as interesting as Bran, you guys.
He can't warg into anything and turn to a cool animal.
Please tell me the story gets good.
How about this? When it starts to get better, I will send you a text and I'll just say, getting better. And if I finish it, I'll be like, finished. I never send one of those texts. You'll know what to look forward to. How about that?
Yay!
I'll send you little, like, droplets of hints along the way as I read this, because I have a feeling that I'll probably finish it before you.
So, until then, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, and all the other podcast platforms, especially over on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us. And remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're at Broomflicks. Or you can write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com. You know that we are delightful because we've got licks at the end. It's B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. You can find me on the weekly podcast, Cage's Kiss, the Nicolas Cage podcast. We just covered Color Out of Space. Also check me out as Lila in Dispatches of Disassociation and as Patrice and Lieutenant Murphy in Coyote's Bluff. Jane, where can the people find you?
People can find me trying to cut the perfect chip out of a cob of corn.
Wow. I like that one.
Some of mine are really just thought up at the, like, split second just before you asked me, and my husband brought in a bag of Doritos nacho cheese. And I was like, well, I think I have a cue. I'm going to work with this. Yes, this is my process, people. Sometimes it's pre-planned. Sometimes it's, oh, crap, what's on my desk? I see something.
And while I'm at it, I'd like to give a huge thank you to EC Caitlin, the Spooked Cat Podcast, Fun with Friends Pod, and Shocked and Applaud for your amazing reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you. You guys are amazing. And
loves.
Yay. But I'd also like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And in our next episode, something that I have been pushing Linda to do for a while, because I kept saying, just watch it. It's so good. I'm trying to push a lot of people to watch this. We will be covering the first two episodes of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which you can binge on Netflix if you so wish. If you want to stay with us, we'll just be doing two episodes per podcast episode, because binging a whole season, trying to get that in within a time frame, probably would take, you know, that would be a 6-hour podcast. And we don't have the time. So yes, two episodes, length of a movie. We'll kind of keep with that kind of schedule for Sabrina for TV shows, as we're figuring out how to do TV shows.
Woohoo!
Yep, it's going to be so much fun. I love this show. I get to rewatch it now.
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
I'm trying to be Abraxas right now. You're welcome. Again, I live to just make you laugh. Anybody else laughs at this, that's a bonus. Just making sure that you laugh is like my joy in this podcast. I know, that's what's even better. I'm just like, yep, I did that.